Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
My name is Chris Crane, and I want to welcome you to the podcast today. Thank you for listening. I have the pleasure of hosting in the studio Rod Marshall. Rod, it's so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Chris. It's a delight to be here.
Rod, you are the CEO, the president of the Alabama Baptist Children's Home and Family Ministries, and you've been there, I think, 28 years.
Is that right? That's right, 28 years back in January, so approaching 29, seems like. This year is going by quickly.
It is, and for 11 of those or so, you've served as the president and CEO.
That's correct.
We are grateful for your ministry there. Some of our listeners may know Rod and his background. He has degrees from Samford, UAB, and Regent, and you've been to a few other schools. And we appreciate your background, just the depth that you bring to the work that you do. And so tell us a little bit about the Children's Home.
So Children's Home is a very old ministry. We have been around since 1891. Most of that time, we're a traditional orphanage. In the last 20 years, we've seen a significant transition, and we are now the state's largest private faith-based foster care provider. We care for more children than anyone other than the state itself who find themselves in the state's foster care system. We really started that transition about 25 years ago, but it has significantly accelerated. COVID slowed us down a little bit. We were not able to do foster parent training, and so it remains to be seen if that slowdown is a permanent thing. We don't think it will be. We think we will catch back up. In fact, right now, your listeners can pray for us. We've got 51 families going through foster parent training across the state, and pray that many of those who are called will be able to see that call through.
Well, that's excellent news, and I'm proud of those families for standing in the gap and being available to do that. You've intrigued me about the changes over the past quarter of a century. Specifically, maybe in the past decade, what have you seen change in our state relative to foster care?
So currently there are 6,000 children in the foster care system in Alabama, and that's been a pretty stable number for the last several years. But there are only 2,500 foster families licensed in the state. Right after the Roe v. Wade decision, several pastors called and they asked, do you think this is going to lead to a foster care crisis? And my answer is no, absolutely not. We already have a foster care crisis. Mm. Now, it might exacerbate that crisis. It is interesting. I've read that Alabama is the second most religious state in the Union, second only to Utah, in terms of religious affiliation, religious devotion, number of churches. And yet, in what is arguably the most Christian state in the Union, how can we only have 2,500 foster homes in a state of 5 million residents, over half of whom self-report to be evangelical Protestant Christians? So these are people who believe in the authority of Scripture. They believe in the authority of the commands of Christ. And when Christ says, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me, how in the world can we have a shortage of foster families? Someone asked me one time, what keeps me awake at night? We're a big organization. We have over 100 employees, 1,000 volunteers, any given day between 200 and 400 children in care, a big budget to deal with, lots of locations to deal with. None of those things keep me awake at night. What does keep me awake at night is I know that 1 out of 10 children in the state's foster care system will be in one of our homes. And I know those children are going to be well-loved by well-trained foster parents who are well-supported by their social workers. I don't know what happens to the other 9 kids who don't wind up in one of our homes. And that really does keep me awake at night sometimes, not knowing, are they hearing the gospel? Are they being taken to church? Do they have a best friend? Do they get the opportunity to play Little League and sing in their church choir or their school choir? Can they run for office in their student government association? Are they on the AB honor roll list? Things that I know happen for the kids in our care, I hope that happens for all the rest of the kids in foster care, but I don't know that it does.
Well, I can vouch for the excellent care that you provide and your employees and the volunteers who work with the organization provide. It's an amazing ministry, but I have to be honest with you, Rod. I feel convicted. I mean, there are 150,000 or so members within the network of churches I'm responsible for here in the Birmingham area. And that's a lot of believers out there who could be serving, who could be helping, coming alongside you and others, but also across the state, hundreds of thousands who are in my family, the Alabama Baptist family. And so we could do a better job.
And I do think it's important to acknowledge that not everyone is called to be a foster parent.
Sure.
But everyone is called to do something for fatherless children. Children from hard places need to know the love of Christ. And every Christian has, I think, an obligation to be part of making sure that that message is given to the very least of those, that the author of hope is introduced to children who have lost their hope.
Mm. Well, you bring just an important question to mind. How can a church walk alongside this ministry? What can we do as the body of Christ?
There are so many ways. I hate to start with this, but money is part of it.
Sure.
If churches put us in their missions offering, if churches do a special offering for the children's home, if churches have us in their budget, for every child we take into care, the state pays $16 a day for their care. We have to raise another $40 a day to provide the quality of care that we expect children to receive.
Wow.
So for every child we take in, we are obligated to raise more money. And historically, churches have been our largest and strongest financial support. About 4 years ago, individuals began to give more than churches did. So I'd love to see churches regain that number one spot. Secondly, we need to recruit more foster families. So if you're a pastor and you listen to this podcast and you know of a family in your church that is deliberating, feeling a sense of calling to something larger than themselves, wanting to have a kingdom impact, and they're not sure how, encourage them to consider that maybe foster care is what they're being called to. The third thing, we've developed a program that we call Brace, that we can come to any congregation and we can help them see five specific things that they can do to support foster parents in their community or in their church to adopt a foster family and make that path easier for that family that's taken on such a challenging or sometimes challenging ministry assignment to become foster parents. So there are many ways that churches can partner with us. And if churches want to be creative and they have ideas that we haven't thought of, we gladly entertain those conversations. Many times those out-of-the-box thinking churches have better solutions than what we can already offer.
Well, tell me more about Brace, because I talk to foster families in local churches, and often, especially in medium-sized, smaller-sized churches, even large churches, the church doesn't know how to come alongside and help those foster families so that they feel loved, supported. So talk about that a little bit.
So even as we speak today, all of our social workers and area directors from across the state are in our Birmingham office being trained in this Brace ministry model. And Brace offers churches specific things they can do to support foster families in their community. And again, that may be foster families in their church. Those may be foster families that foster through us, or they may foster through another ministry. But there are specific things churches can do and can empower their members to do, and we'd be happy to work with them to facilitate all those things, whether it's intentional prayer, whether it's grocery shopping, whether it's providing them with diapers, whether it's cutting their grass or helping them with laundry, whether it's advocating for them when they have family court or school meetings, IEPs, whether they have DHR meetings. There's so much that can go into foster parenting. We want to make sure that the foster parents never feel like they're alone.
Mm. Wow. Well, we're grateful for that. I'll be praying today for those who will be trained and ready to equip our local churches in that Brace strategy. That really is compelling to me. I want to go back to something that was said earlier about churches coming alongside financially. And I know that in the churches that I've served, we've given through the cooperative program, which is a way that Southern Baptists have supported ministry. But I think a lot of our, and we're grateful for that because it funds the gospel locally all the way to the ends of the earth. But I think some of our leaders, even certainly church members in the Baptist family, they think that every dime that that the Children's Hope gets comes from the cooperative program. Could you address that just a little bit?
So I want to be careful how I address that.
Certainly.
We are a beneficiary of the cooperative program, and we're incredibly grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Many, many years ago, the Alabama Baptist Children's Home was given the authority by the state convention. We are the only entity that's allowed to go to a church and ask for support. Mm. There are six entities of the state convention, and we're the only one that's given that privilege, and we really, really appreciate that.
Yes.
So we don't get as much from the cooperative program. What we get from the cooperative program, we are very, very grateful for, and we are delighted to be part of Alabama Baptist life. However, our budgeting operates on the expectation that churches will do either a special offering or have us in their missions budget. So again, we're so appreciative of the cooperative program funding and delighted that that really ties our identity to the Alabama Baptist State Convention. But the needs that we're trying to meet exceed the amount that we get through the cooperative program, and that's where we would love for churches to help us close that gap. There are also individuals and businesses and legacy gifts and fees for services. So we do have a diversified array of income sources. But if I have to pick one that I most want to be dependent upon, it's church giving. Sure. I want Alabama Baptist to understand that they're our owners, and we are subject to their ownership. And there's not a better group of people that I would want to serve other than Alabama Baptists.
And we're grateful for you, Rod, and you said that so well. So, yes, we do give through the cooperative program, but it does take serious money to do this ministry. And we're glad to come alongside the cooperative program gifts in other ways, and we encourage everyone listening to do that as best as you can. You know, Rod, I've been in a lot of churches of all sizes. I've been in some of those small churches where I've seen groups come up and put offering money into banks that were placed on the communion table of maybe a bank that's a model of a church, and on their birthdays, people would come up and give to the Children's Home. So churches large and small in many different ways can give.
And it's always so meaningful to me when I'm in one of those, usually a country church.
Yes.
And they do have, oftentimes the bank looks like a small church building.
Yes.
And it sits on the communion table, and underneath it, it almost always says, "This do in remembrance of me."
Yes.
And I certainly understand that what they're talking about is the Lord's Supper, that when we do communion, it is in remembrance of our Savior and Messiah. But when they take care of the fatherless child, that too is done in remembrance of our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. I do want to bring up one other area that touches on Children's Home ministry, and that's Pathways Counseling. And right here in our own offices here at the Birmingham Metro Association, we have one office where a Pathways Counselor comes to meet with clients. So tell us a little bit about that important ministry and kind of how it evolved and what we're doing today through Pathways.
So the counseling ministry started in 1995. Paul Miller, my predecessor, a great, great leader and a visionary leader, had a real heart for the kids in our care, and we were having trouble finding qualified mental health professionals who worked from a biblical worldview. And so we began to hire our own. And what we found, as soon as we began to have those counselors available, we were getting calls from pastors frequently wanting to know if they could refer to our counseling ministry. We are now the state's largest faith-based provider of professional mental health services from a Christian worldview. We have several associations that we have partnered with, a couple of churches that we've partnered with, an incredibly talented staff of extraordinarily well-trained individuals that are trained in creative and innovative ways to provide services, trained in trauma-informed approaches to counseling, attachment-based approaches to counseling. And so we're there mostly to help the kids in our foster care and adoptive families, but also to help any referrals we get from churches or from the community on a wide range of subjects, from depression to anxiety to sense of meaning in life, marital issues, parenting issues, spiritual crises, trauma work. We've got a really talented group of folks who do a great job of responding to those needs among those who are referred to us.
Well, we're thankful for your visionary leadership, Rod. Also, Ross Hickman, who oversees that specific ministry.
I've yet to find anything that Ross Hickman's not good at.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
It's not a problem I have.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been such an honor to have you. I wanted to give our listeners an opportunity to reach out to you. What would be the best way to reach out to the Children's Home to engage with volunteering or giving or participating in what you offer?
We love to encourage people to visit our website, which is www.alabamachild.org. And on our website, you can learn a lot about our ministry. You can look at a list of needs that we have from location to location that Sunday school classes or individuals can meet those needs for us. Volunteer opportunities are on our website. We've got our Camp of Champions coming up, and we'll be looking for people who want to help us make a successful camp, either by sponsoring campers or perhaps volunteering at camp. So the website's a great place to start. You can also call our office, 205-982-1112. And we'd be happy to talk with anyone about how they can better support our ministry, answer questions they might have about our ministry, or how they can be more involved.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today, Rod.
It's a real privilege. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.